Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, No Spinners. I am flipping excited. I mean, if you think you've seen No Spin with a couple No Spinners, we've got a guest on that's definitely zero BS in his game. First off, my wonderful, beautiful, lovely, intelligent, charming, all those things. The first lady of pro rodeo journalism, a little bit of a pain in some people's batonkuses, Kendra Santos. Hello, Kendra. How are you?
So many questions. Sorry.
Now, I use Grok AI. Use it all the time. So does my brother Anthony. Anyway, so I Grok'd our guest, whose name is Rory Lemel. I just want to read a couple clips because this cracks me up. Rory Lemel, often spelled R-O-R-E-Y. Is that correct? Is that the correct spelling?
That's the correct spelling.
Okay, so Rory Lemel, I've been misspelling it for 15 years. It says, I'm not going to go through all of it, but the part that I love, for one, it says you're an announcer. Have you done some announcing? You have done some talent stuff on TV and stuff, right?
Oh, no. When I quit riding bulls, I announced the circuit finals and stuff. But why I couldn't keep doing it is I would be up there stomping my feet because the production was so bad. And I was mediocre at best.
Well, so here's my headline. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 77. Our guest for today, a behind-the-scenes architect for keeping the rodeo sport exciting. Thank you, Grok. This is Rory Lemel. Hello, Rory. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us in the production room, people. If you're watching this live, you're getting the back scenes of the behind-the-scenes look, one of the biggest events there is in the whole game that we play each year. Hello, Rory.
Hi, Tommy Joe. How are you?
And it is,
this is not too luxurious, as you know. I have to have a room where I'm silent. I'm not that smart. So if I'm going to make a mistake, I got this little cave where I go and nobody can get to me. But as you guys know, in the production business, it may look glamorous, but it's not too glamorous.
You got to have a room that people quit asking you freaking questions. Do you ever get to the point where you're like, Do you even think about what you're asking me now?
Yeah, right.
Is it okay if I go pee, Mr. Lemel?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, I want to clarify, and you two know this as good as Kendra and everybody. I don't do this all alone. My team runs this thing, and they are top notch. And, you know, Jessica Willard will work 23 of the 24 hours of the day, and Garrison Panzer, and it goes on to Garrett Yerrigan. He's a nerd, so he eats this stuff up. But yes, ultimately it comes down to me making those decisions that are not very fun to make. As you know, running big rodeos and doing production. Yes, I get the pat on the back, but there's a lot of decisions you make that affect, and especially a rodeo of this magnitude, affects what we do.
How long have you been in the business?
As a kid, you know, I rode bulls for a long time. And I tell everybody, and they'll hear the speech when I get the contestants. And I announce for just this little bit of time. And I went to actually radio and television school. And I always thought when I rode, I wanted to make rodeo better. And a lot of people compare Boyd, Paul Hamus, and me, believe it or not. We are very passionate. And in fact, I can say this on there. Tommy Joe's a prick, too. But it's because we're passionate about what we do. And I vowed when I was done, I was going to make rodeo better. Did I think I could make a living at it like I do now? No, but I was going to make rodeo better. I watched my brother was one of the baddest bronc riders in the world for a long time. And he struggled to get to the NFR through a number of bullshit things. But I was going to make rodeo better. And I think I have in a number of areas. It's not always glamorous and we're not done yet. We have to keep working at this sport.
Kendra? Well, I mean, I've got bunches. We'll tag team this dude.
I'm dying. WWE. I'm dying about this. there's before we get to Sioux Falls, which is all eyes now are on Sioux Falls where you are, but I, because I'm here with a couple of producers of very high level events, can we just kick around a couple things about Mandan that just happened? I would just like to know, okay, from you guys' point of view, like, okay, big money rodeo right here at the end. I don't even know exactly all how this may or may not even impact Sioux Falls, but what about just the basics of the fact that Mother Nature dumped 5 or 6 inches on this rodeo? And for example, the barrel racers, you know, rode ranch horses and some of them, you know, and team roping horses and had to literally like break into a trot around the barrels and stuff. It's just like, if you're a producer, like I know from the contestant's point of view, I feel like a lot of them were very, very gracious because they knew the committee was trying and they knew, you know, they felt bad for the committee too, when they looked up and maybe some of those perfs or weren't as many fans because of the weather or whatever. So it's like, I just, you know, from the contestant's point of view, for one, I'd love to know, Rory, if you know this, some of the contestants were saying, okay, we can't turn out because if we turn out, tour points are deducted and it could impact us making Sioux Falls. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So say for example, a barrel racer trotting through the pattern on a ranch horse, like she couldn't just say, I'm sorry, I'm not running my good one here. That's
100% of what happened. And you know this, Kendra, with your boys rodeoing and you growing up with this. Of the 850 rodeos we got, 600 and some all rodeos, 150 standalones, everything comes down to a business decision. And it could rain in Salinas, California. You know, damn sure going to be cold at night. I bought more coats in Salinas than anywhere in the world. And it can be an ice storm in Jackson, Mississippi, and you might not get there. 100% of business decision. They did not want to lope around the pattern.
Right.
And some of them didn't because they had to get to the national finals rodeo. But it was a business decision because this one adds $1.4 million, right? So they're going to make sure they're good ones. And then that little rodeo in Las Vegas adds, you know, our Super Bowl. So that was a business decision. And it lined up where some of them had to run, some of them didn't. Where I really noticed it was the tie-down roping. It looked like all the calves kicked. But in reality, it was so muddy. The ground was so deep, them horses couldn't back up and keep the rope tight, right? So they're all going to kick then. So you've seen it in the tie-down roping probably as much as anything. So it affected, you know, we heard about it from social media and all that. You know, everybody talks about the committee. In fact, this one man in North Dakota named Chad Berger said, we're going to do this big-ass rodeo. And he has to be responsible for coming up with $500,000. That'll buy you a frickin' nice home a lot of places in this world. Right. So now I would never try rodeo outside that time of the year. That's Chad's choice. But I got to give it to him for a man that grew up and wanted to bring a big caliber rodeo to North Dakota. There's no way he's going to make $500,000, by the way. There's no way. You know, you see the $1.4 million that this rodeo is here? That's just prize money. This rodeo costs $3 million when you put it together. Would it have to cost that? No. But I don't like to be outdone. Tommy Joe don't like to be outdone. But I had a responsibility. The higher-ups at Cinch said, you change rodeo for the better. They reached out to me 15 years ago. You change rodeo for the better. That's my marching orders. And I damn sure I'm on a try. And the beauty of it is, there's probably somebody sitting in the stands in Mandan or Sioux Falls or wherever USA that is smarter than me and Tommy Joe. And they're going to make it better from when we're done. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of America.
I'm heartened that someone at a company like Cinch would give you those marching orders to make rodeo better.
They feel, you know, the people over there feel that rodeo made their brand. And so that's just there. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the state of South Dakota chips in pretty dang good. Turns out we got real leaders up here. You know what I mean? And they chip in, but ultimately the big check comes from over there to cover this. And there's no way I'm going to – now, there's a possibility I could move to a bigger building is what I would need to do some of Tommy Joe's older buildings. Hell, you can go to St. Paul, Minnesota and stick 30,000 in there 2 days, just bang. Probably going to be a little harder logistics, right? Going to be a little bit tougher going through Minneapolis, and they don't quite have the freedoms we have over here.
Well, what does it seat? What does it seat?
Me, I can stick 8,000 in here.
So, you know, people think, oh, he's sold out, he's going to get rich. People do the math. 8,000 people at a, I'm guessing, even if you want a $40 average ticket price, that doesn't pay for 30% of the prize money, right? Not including riggers and chain motors and marketing. Oh, you got to market it. Oh, you people, you know, at Days of 47, we spend over $3 million in 5 days. And they look at it and they're like, oh, somebody's getting rich. No, we are busting our butts to make sure we have money to do it the next year.
That's exactly right. And they couldn't do it without a lot of the volunteers. I have no volunteers over here. This is like World's Toughest Rodeo. Every son of a buck that walks through here is getting a check. My opening last year, everybody said, oh my God, you're opening with a, you know, I had an opening that looked like the Olympics. I made the ground shake and move and crumble in South Dakota. That was $150,000. I'm not bragging. I just want to set a standard for rodeo. This is a big time event, just like the NFR is. You know, your rodeo is a big time event. I want to treat the athletes like they deserve, and I want to elevate the game. That's where we're at.
Are you guys saying that you lose money on your rodeos?
There are several rodeos that lose money. Now, there's a lot of sponsorship. And I, Kendra, put on rodeos that make money. I'm not going to lie. I put on a lot of rodeos that make money.
I hope so. Yeah.
But to grow rodeo, and I'm sure the man up there just right above you on this split screen is going to say the same thing. To grow rodeo, sometimes you got to sacrifice. And you got to get people brought on board, big-time sponsors. Texas Precious Metals did it for me here. Let me help grow the rodeo. Let me, you know, you're hearing it for the first time here. Cowboy Channel's here every day, and they got the pregame, and that is badass. They've changed rodeo, made it a little bit tougher on guys like me and him up there. But this rodeo here, they put on Fox One. What that means to rodeo in the state of South Dakota, you're talking 80 million homes this rodeo is going to go into. That's freaking huge. That is big time. And if you put rodeo up against hockey, we're probably going to beat hockey. That'll make somebody say, oh, shit, you're kidding me. I'm serious. Well, the product we put out here, I think I can compete against that. I'm not going to beat the NFL. But when you get on major network TV, 80 million homes is big time.
No kidding. Well,
the state of South Dakota. So just think about this. State of Utah. The state of South Dakota, give me money. Kendra, can you imagine if they had to buy all the advertisements? So let's think about it now. Resist All Rookie of the Year. I like to use that for an example. Now the 800 rodeos across the United States and Canada, they say the Governor's Cup. They say Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This guy won money there. Can you imagine if this state had to buy that advertisement everywhere? Couldn't afford it. So yes, there is a method to our madness a little bit. You know, the only gold medal rodeo that every announcer talks about there's a method. That's their state. That's in Utah. Go ahead.
What is your title there? That's Sioux Falls.
General manager, but that's really I don't know what the hell you'd call me.
General manager. I mean, you can sit there. I agree. We all, Kendra and Royal Gray, we have great teams, but good leaders stand in front of them, and good leaders take the bullets, and good leaders, when something doesn't go right, you own it because you're the leader, you're the general, and you have to own it. He's not going to say that, but that's the truth. Now, if you don't have the right team there, you can't pull it off. The reason that you don't have volunteers is because you couldn't pull off the same level of production for people that don't do this full time and aren't getting paid. God bless the volunteers. Don't send me a letter. Don't send me feedback. The volunteers and committees of rodeos are fantastic and put out great products. But when you're doing a $3 million event and the button has to be pushed at the right time. So the $150 that you spend on effects goes when it's supposed to go. You just got to make sure. And my point is the pressure. There's real pressure on running events. I mean, I know you got a whole team that's doing it, but I just chuckle. I love when I come to your events and I'm sitting there and I'm having a beer and I'm watching and I'm chuckling because I'm usually my eyes are where your eyes are. I see you make a break and someone will say, "What's he doing?" I say, "Well, he's rectifying that situation over there." That you know what? That's the thing. Above the water, the duck's head's going like this. Underneath the water, I say this in all my production meeting, feet are going everywhere. It doesn't matter. It's what the perception is, what the product ends up being. And we fix stuff. How many, you step on landmines. I tell people, be ready because everything is not going to go perfect. But we have to walk through it and the fans have to look. And half of the time, they don't even really know.
They don't. And I'll tell you, and I'll be straight up honest, though. The first person last year, so a lot of people, and I'm going to explain myself better in the meeting. A lot of people work with me all year long, but there's so many in our production meeting. There's a lot of people that don't know me. Well, I flipped out last year. Our first perf sucked bad. And I went in there and slammed the door because I always look at it this way. Just like you guys, we grew up in a working class family. We was ranchers where I was from, but every son of a bitch that went in them stands, they paid hard-earned money for that. And for us to let down, and I hate the term, "Oh, it's the first perf, we'll get better." Bullshit. You got to bring it now. And we did. Second perf was spectacular. So I'm fighting against that now. People got offended in my meeting about my language. Half the people were used to me. But I just, and Tommy Joe will tell you, there's something people don't know. So when you come in here and these bigger buildings are union, and they're having to make cues that are out of your hand, your heart will start racing like a son of a gun. It is like no other, because it's not, nobody knows there's people up in a control room way up in the ceiling. It comes back on the dummy sitting there in the headset and then another guy in a nice suit jacket going, "Geez, they look like shit."
Truth. That's truth. Yeah. Hashtag truth.
I think it would be super helpful to cover a few quick basics as far as like who qualifies, how many in each event, and how do they get there? Because this is confusing to a lot of people.
Confusing to Rory. We need to dumb it down a little bit on the points still. But basically of the 800 or the 650, let's say we got sanctioned rodeos. 60 of the highest money rodeos count to get here. From Salt Lake to Salinas, California, Cheyenne, Napa, Idaho, San Antonio, Houston. All them are points. And if you turn out, yes, you do get 10 points. And that's something we need to address. So I think later on down the road, matter of fact, needs to be now. Just because you add the money doesn't mean that you should be one of the big rodeos. You got to go like Tommy Joe did up there, and he went and got Sankey horses, and he went and got C5 horses, and he went and got Frontier horses. For instance, at this rodeo, and I'm getting off here a little bit, but I sent a truck to Texas. I got calves from Lanham Mangold. Huh. I got dog and steers from J.J. Miller. Matt Zancanella and Cole Latham do my team ropers up here. But that's not cheap, sending a truck down there just to get one event. But this event, they have to be so even. I don't want it to be a drawn contest. But anyway, back to the rodeo.
And how appreciated that is can't be overstated. Go ahead.
Well, they're supposed to work. On paper, this is supposed to work. They all let you down. 60 big rodeos, 20 out of them rodeos, and points keep adding up. 24 guys go to Puyallup, our first leg of the playoffs. Actually, it's 23 in our standings, and from our national finals open or whatever they call Colorado Springs now, which is a great rodeo, our circuit system, which is the heart of the PRC. One is seeded from there into Puyallup against the other 23 guys. From them, the top four automatic seed into Sioux Falls. So if you make the short round up there and do the four-man round, you get a direct ticket to Sioux Falls. than the next eight in them standings from all year long, a battle all year long that get here. And that's how it works. The only trouble is the point system is so convoluted. But here's what I'm most proud of. I'm most proud of this, that they said that $18 million more got added because of the tour last year in extra money. Because what happened to them rodeos near the bottom, they are fighting. They are fighting to get into that 60 because they know they're going to get the top guys there. The top guys are coming to the rodeo. And that's really, let's not beat around the bush. That's what people want. They want Stetson Wright at their rodeo. So them, they added the money to be in the top 60. The big rodeos and the opening night, I'm going to point it out here. The 13 biggest rodeos in the country are coming in. Denver, Colorado, Salinas, California, Pendleton, Oregon. And they're adding the money. And I'm going to point out that Cheyenne adds $1.1 million. It's the fifth biggest rodeo or whatever. Fourth biggest rodeo is Sioux Falls, $1.4 million. And then it's San Antone, Calgary, Houston at $2 million. But I can tell you, them big rodeos, including the guy on top screen up there, they will keep adding money because it's a little bit of a... not a game, but everybody wants to be top dog, don't matter what we do. So we've elevated our game. We've added more money. Guys, I looked at it. The breakaway ropers have $170,000 and $140,000 won. That's incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible. So I'm very proud of the fact that not, yes, this is a game changer, but it's made everybody step up their game to add more money to get through rodeos. And Kendra, everybody's got a shot to make it here. My young son, Logan, goes out in rodeos. He's butt off to try and get to these rodeos, to get in the bigger rodeos. And you got to have a good year. But the beauty that a lot of them are doing now is the qualifier. Like what San Antonio and Houston are doing, having them little rodeos to qualify to get in, give everybody a shot. That's pretty cool.
Well, and I noticed that for Mandan last weekend, they said, like, for example, if you win Dickinson, you get a buy into Mandan, right? You
automatically... Yeah, four. Dickinson, Mandan Summer Rodeo, Deadwood, South Dakota, and Rapid City Summer Rodeo. Okay. And they do that to appease the circuits a little bit. Very incentive. I knew guys, Ty Kipp flew up to Rapid City the other day to run a steer to get a shot to make sure he got Mandan. That helps everybody.
Well, the concept of being this huge money, I mean, when I was a kid, the Cow Palace in San Francisco was the last rodeo of the regular season. And for a very long time, not just when I was a kid, but they, for a while, they built it as the playoffs to the NFR. This is a similar concept, right? And it's correct. Like, it was a great source of pride to be the last rodeo with this. I mean, the storylines that will come out of Sioux Falls, there will be heartbreakers. There will be people that have been start to finish in the top 15 that will get dumped out at the last minute. And there are people that are going to jump up, kind of come from nowhere. I mean, it's pretty wild. How wild is it? How hard has it been to, I know sometimes there are glitches with the secretary system and whatever, as they're trying to perfect it, but how hard is it to after Mandan, then, you know, like we're sitting here scratching our head, like who's in?
To do this big playoffs, that's one of the problems. I was going to bring that up. The playoffs, I love the playoffs. You and I have actually kind of argued about this a little bit.
Yep.
I love the playoffs. I love that you have to win when you have to win. Mm-hmm. And you might draw the wrong one and it might not be the wrong way, but there's two teams on the field at the NFR or at the NFL at the Super Bowl, and it doesn't matter if Billy's got a stub toe or not, you got to win then. And I love that because I think as we call ourselves a sport, we have to embrace the old, which is what we do, money won, keep our culture, give everybody the opportunity, but this creates drama. Now, but nobody knows who's in this rodeo that I can figure out right now. Maybe Rory does. Nobody knows. Just like you said, it's a mystery. How do you promote that? How do you promote that, Rory?
Well, a couple things here, and I'll call a spade a spade. They know it. I mean, I grew up in a PRSA family, as did you two. But this is BS, what they put on me this week, because I don't just try to. If you come to this rodeo, it's going to look like more of Major League Baseball or the NFL. I've got stats up there where they won. The animal they're getting on, I'll show bucking. The calf horse, I put their name up there. We'll watch him run at Salinas. And I try to do all this. Well, now I've got 3 days because they were auditing this. Complete. You know, the national finals made the cutoff this weekend so they could get prepared for the NFR. That's 3 months. I've got 3 days. And as you know, we got a team. PRC's got to figure that out. We got to figure that out. I actually like to take it one step further. I'm a big football fan, so I try to follow. I love the how they do it. You know, they got the wild card round, then they got the divisional round, and all of a sudden you're in the AFC championship round, which is basically what we are. This is AFC, NFC championship. This is the go to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's our national finals rodeo. And everybody says, it's not fair. The hell it ain't fair. Everybody's got the same shot at the start of the year to go to these rodeos. My kid had the same shot as Tyler Wagaspeck. Turns out he didn't make it. Wagaspeck did.
But, and I think a point to bring up for those who haven't been around as long as we have is that it wasn't that many years ago when the first week in November was the cutoff for the NFR.
Oh, yeah.
And so now it's September 30th. That is a very different thing. Now, back to the fact that you have 3 days is I mean, hello. But you know,
you have the list.
I've got breaking news for you guys right here on Mo Spin.
Tell us.
I'm going to tell you for the first time who's entered, and it's fixing to be on the World Wide Web tonight, but I figure you two experts would like to go over it. So I'm going to give you everybody in each event.
Love it.
In the bareback riding is Garrett Shadbolt, Cade Saunier, Jayco Roper, Hilden Hooper, Bradley Miller, Cole Franks, Sam Peterson, Jess Pope, Jacob Lees, Wacy Shala, Rocker Steiner, Jason Frost. Really, the outside one here is Tilden. They could come get Jayco, though, too. I mean, Jayco's right up there. Jacob Lees is out. It's going to be pretty interesting.
It's super interesting. And after winning Mandan, here we have Tilden at 37 years old, who's 17th right now, and now he's going to be there. We didn't know that 5 minutes ago, 2 minutes ago.
But he's looking like he can ride. Now, I've seen Tilden not look like he should probably retire. I'm just being honest. But the last three flicks I've seen of Tilden, his feet are back. And Rory, so I said this in the other one. Before we leave bareback riding, because Kendra kind of said, are you sure? I think this is the best set of rough stock riders in the PRCA, especially in the bareback riding, that I can remember. Do you disagree?
No, there's some bad bastards. There's 25 deep that can really, really ride and go to the finals. And you couldn't say that years ago. I mean, they're a step above everybody. I mean, I can go down to, there's a name not even on the list yet, Cashton Ford. That kid will be here in another year. And there's two or three of them. They can do it. You know how the old days, somebody'd get tipped into their hand or away from their hand. These kids are so correct now. So when they get to that level,
the depth of the talent pool, I do agree, is deeper and everything. I just, the other day when you made a statement that to you, like the rough stock riders, this is the greatest era. And before you're talking about the depth of the pools of talent, yes, I would say that I would go with you on that. But it's hard for me to like disregard, for example, you know, Tough Lane.
Yeah, Kendra, winners are going to win. Ain't nobody outride them son of a bitches you just mentioned. They're going to win in this era. I will say what things are a little bit different now, and I'll compare it to baseball as a bronc riding. Their saddles are so much better nowadays. I mean, to what John Forbes and Clint Johnson had to ride a frickin', you know, they rode a board. These saddles set up in the air, and then there's a little thing of the rosin rule that everybody keeps looking the other way. Two, three years ago, it was dry rosin. They took that out of our rule book. So really, everything's got an asterisk on a little bit, whether it does or it doesn't. I'll say this. These guys are some riding sons of bitches. I think you take the Tiger Strip away, they probably. And here's another thing. I don't know if Airwolf's going to go back to the national finals now. I don't know if Blood Brothers going to go back to the national finals. And these guys ain't scared of anything. But they realize they don't have to do that now. The old days, contractors were assholes. Now they're the best friends to everybody behind the chute. It's completely different. It's deja vu. I mean, I'm
now just. Now you pay them and you put your logo on there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that works. I mean, I know how it works, but it still happens.
So I'm a contractor too. So, you know, this will stir up a hornet's nest, but it's true. Man, when I rode.
And the comparing of eras, I mean, what about comparing the bareback riding? So then and now, holy smokes.
Yeah, that's not even. That's,
you know,
that's
when it was a leather strap that you hung on to, right?
It makes a big difference in the animals that survive through it too.
Like, that's we haven't exactly even talked right.
about that. The black tie, these horses, when you got a guy that's stuck, and I'm figuratively speaking, stuck to you and running iron in you, that'll take the heart out of most. So those horses that are bucking now, Rory would agree with me, they're champions at heart, like all the way down to their core.
Toughest thing in the world, and I am a stock contractor. I mean, them horses that used to be $3,500 are now $20,000 and $25,000. You got to have big balls to play this game. Yeah. But back to your point, Kendra. Winners are always going to win. I don't care if Dean Oliver was in this era. He was going to kick ass. Winners are going to win. Tough Edelman, Lane, Jim Sharp, and them some bitches showed up. Good God, it was miserable. And the Clint Johnsons, but I'm not taking nothing away. Zeke Thurston is one sort of bad machine. You know, he's incredible. And the kids do ride good. They're this much higher in the neck. They're getting iron. We got to educate our judges.
Talking about the bucking horses, as one example, is seeing like Virgil now had a saddle on him at Mandan, for example. Like how they decide to go back and forth with the events or whatever. Like,
well, for Virgil, it's history. He's won the barebacks. There ain't very many that switched over and been a Lonesome Me or a Spring Fling. So,
right.
And he's going to win the halter. It's obvious he's going to win the halter this year. He's had a great year. Would I say he's as rank as that one Calgary has? Probably not. Black Tie? I don't know. Black Tie, I would love to own Black Tie. That is an incredible horse that the crowd goes wild every time. He's probably not going to throw you off either. But, man, he's a great horse. And the Sankey should be so proud of what they did. The only difference nowadays is they can say what they want. All them guys, Harry Vold is my hero. Great man. Them guys got to hide a lot of their good horses. You know what I mean? Mike Servi was the king of it, you know? Hey, I didn't see this horse at Denver, you know? There's no hiding them now. These some bitches come in the chute, and they buck, and they get spurred every time because these kids are bad cats.
Well, and you got to give the guys like Vold, Sankey, Reno. Kendra and I have talked about this. These guys have created bucking horses and not bought them. No offense to the guys that spend big money. God bless them. They got great herds. I've had them in my rodeo. They're fantastic. But these homegrown buckers, and I think Black Tie is the most beautiful
absolutely.
To watch. I just think the horse is absolutely gorgeous to watch.
My son-in-law wins St. Paul on him this year. There's no way you're going to beat that, right? It is spectacular. When anybody else gets on him, you know, he's that much better than them horses. But you're right. Homegrown, we need the rich guys. We need them to keep buying up. I tell everybody, I don't know if I'm going to get rich. I'm going to make money because I know how to produce rodeos. My kids, I think, is going to have a breeding program because it takes that long. And that's what the Harry Volds of the world did. Yep. They taught Ike Sankey. You got to keep them good mares, and you got to keep breeding them if you're going to survive in this game. And now Wade is reaping the benefits. Because everybody said, you know, Ike's a genius. Ike's from Missouri. He's not a genius, for God's sakes, but he knew bucking horses.
I'll play checkers against Ike.
let's have the scoop on the Bulldogger list for Sioux Falls.
Okay. So the list that I think everybody's going to cheer for here, Mike McGinn. What a great story. Everybody's pulling for Mike. Mike McGinn is in here. Justin Schaefer. Gavin Swallow just made himself a full-fledged. He's right there. Bridger Anderson. Dakota Eldridge. Tyler Wagaspeck. Stetson Jorgensen. Rowdy Parrott. Chance Howard's going to his first NFR. Cody Devers is another one. Will Loomis. Jesse Brown. So there's stories all over the steer wrestling.
It's an awesome Awesome. And yeah, Gavin Swallow, he was one of Oates' junior champions a few years ago at the junior NFR. That's so fun.
And if you could live through the junior NFR, I had to go there to watch my kid, and Oates would make me load the damn steers, for God's sake. I barely got to watch my kid, for Christ's sake.
It's a tight budget
around there.
Bridger was Oates' first champ.
Oh, yeah. Here he
is. That's so fun. Cool.
So the standalones, so you guys are going to hear it here first, and well, they ain't released it out. There's fixing to be a standalone steer wrestling. I think that is great. I think, you know, I know some people are against them, but how many cowboys have you guys known to retire because they won too much money? And when we could start making these guys win this kind of money, this changes things for everyone. I just watched what it did with the Bronc ride, and I'm partial to it because I was the driving force there. But, man, if we can get these guys to making more money, and so they don't got to get a job at UPS, and nothing against working at UPS.
Or selling used cars. You know, how many of the guys end up selling cars or shoeing horses till they couldn't stand up anymore? And it is amazing when you look at the number 15 now, you can go, you know, they can probably pay their credit card bill and feed the kids at home. Because it's a bitch of a life. It is.
You know what? Kendra just brought up the bulldogging. The bulldogging is always the tightest event because you got to draw good. And that's one of the few events where a circuit guy can clip you, right? A circuit guy draws good. If he draws that steer, no, he's not going to outdog Wagaspec. But if he draws the right steer, he's going to win. Them bareback and bronc riders, probably the circuit guys ain't going to beat them.
Are we going down the list?
Team Ropers, Tanner Tomlinson, Kobe Payne, Luke Brown, Trey Yates.
Wait. That doesn't sound right. Tanner Tomlinson ropes with Graves.
I can't tell you. I'm just telling you what Pro Comp said. This is the list I got, and I just got Luke Brown with Trey Yates. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Tyler Wade, Wesley Thorpe, Tyler Tryon, Denton Dunning, Kyle Dennison, Lane Mitchell, Jake Smith, Douglas Rich, Andrew Ward, Jake Long, Driggers and Nuega, Dustin Esquiza, Will Woodfin, Dawson, and Dylan Graham. Great story there out of Canada. Clay Smith, Nikki Northcott is making a push, Clint Summers, and Jade Corkle. So do you think this is one of them deals where one heeler didn't make it in points?
Man, that just wouldn't make sense because Tomlinson and Travis Graves have been right at the top of the standings all year. That wouldn't make sense.
It's been audited, by the way. It's been audited.
Sent to me and audited.
Okay, so this is a fun one on the team roping. So Dustin Igasqueza there. He's there, sounds like, with Woodfin.
Yep.
Okay, but Levi Lord and Shea Carroll are not on that list, right?
Not on the list. And Levi's in. Okay. Shea would be really out.
Interesting for people to stand back and go, wait just a minute. Here we go. Because one of the coolest storylines that I don't know if people are like stepping back to see this, but like Dustin Igasqueza and Levi Lord have been top contender team for the elite team the last few years. Well, Dustin this year, he kind of, you know, a lot of people have been surprised. He's roping with his brother-in-law, JC Flake. So what's coming down the pike here is that Dustin's going to make it. JC Flake's not going to make it. Levi Lord's going to make it. Shea Carroll not having that rodeo makes it pretty unlikely that he's going to make it. So because they won the Texas circuit last year, Dustin Igasqueza and Levi Lord made the NFR Open and won it. They're both not even there. But after all the shitstorm, they're almost certainly going to rope together at the NFR.
It certainly looks like it. And I don't know if you guys remembered it last year because you've watched a lot of rodeo. Team roping here was crazy. That's another thing. Circuit guys are not going to beat them here. Holy shit, these guys can rope. It's the, you know, it used to be in my era, I always say, the late 80s, early 90s, 2000, that the heelers made the difference. These freaking headers are insane now. It's changed the game. There's only very few of them that can do that.
For sure. All right, Bronc riding? This is so
fun. Bronc, all right. You heard it here first that Stetson Wright is not here. So he's going to go all the way to the finals. And I think that's a good thing. I am a Stetson. I'm a Stetson fan like everybody else in the world. And I'm glad he's setting out. I mean, that's too big of an injury, in my opinion. Stetson knows his body better than anybody. But interesting, Stetson don't get in. Statler Wright's now in. So Statler was the crying hole to come here, but he's in. Wyatt Casper. So I know you guys analyze everything over there. Wyatt Casper had to get on at Puyallup to come here. He had screws in his foot 10 days prior to that because they misdiagnosed it. He rode at the X-Bronx Finals. They misdiagnosed it, had to have further surgery, but they put ground rules in at Puyallup they'd never put in before. You had to make an honest attempt. So that means at Puyallup, he had to put 2 feet in his stirrups. You couldn't just hold on to him and drag him off. Well, shit, just out of surgery, 10 days, if this horse hits the chute, but yeah. He makes it, and it doesn't look like it bothers him, and he's riding here. Q Taylor, outriding everybody right now. Q Taylor is a machine. Every once in a while, there's a guy that gets dialed in. It's him. Brody Wells, Zach Dallas, Cade Bruno. I don't know if he's out riding Damian Brennan. Damian Brennan is on a holy tear, and he's a bad dude. Ryder Wright, the world champ. Ben Anderson's fighting. So here it is. Ben Anderson's fighting for the NFR. In the rig is his cousin. Logan Hay is fighting for the NFR. And by the way, their other traveling partners, Q Taylor. Could come down to one of them three in the same rig.
Zeke Thurston. Q is 19th and Logan's 17th. Are you done reading the list?
Dawson Hayes, Zeke Thurston. They're pretty good, too.
Is Lefty Holman on the list?
No, Lefty's 15th.
So imagine
Lefty's got to hit them. Yeah, he's got to hit the home run. But the beauty of this thing, and we all know how rodeo works, Badlands guys winning the Badlands, Texas guys winning Texas, Lefty's the king of California. Two pretty nice rodeos in California. Mm-hmm. However, Reno just did a great rodeo there at Sonoma, and Lefty did not place, which surprised me. But Lefty is going to have to hit some at them out there and possibly Pasadena. But he's got a better chance in California than Pasadena, probably, you know.
San Bernardino and Poway.
Well, yeah. And the thing about here, good rodeos. The thing about here is this rodeo's got, you can win $56,000. It's pretty tough to win money. These are really, really good guys. I mean, really good guys.
The wrong guys, the right guys. The cool thing about your event, and we've seen it historically, is that it's like we said, because it's deep, there's no guarantees that he's out. Right? I mean, it just, who does it when they have to do it? I think it's badass.
No, I think it's great. But people will write in. I always get a guy, what's the Cowboy Channel experts, them ones that don't really know what the hell's going on in rodeo, but they got their own little Facebook group. They'll say, this is wrong, shouldn't happen. This is the beauty of what Tommy Joes is just talking about. This is why you fly to Salinas and spend $1,200 on a ticket coming in 11th place. You might not get many of that average, but if you win $1,400 somewhere in the short round there, turns out it might get you to that rodeo in Las Vegas. That's the beauty. These guys got to be a little businessmen along the way, too.
Preach.
No doubt. Well, okay, really fast. What's the format? How many does everybody get? It's
two head. 12, 12, 12, cuts to 8 and 4.
Aggregate on 2.
Aggregate on 2. And the
eight, plate, right?
So if you make the 8 round, you're guaranteed $4,000. I don't got the payout in front of me, but you're guaranteed $4,000. If you finish 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, the event we're just getting to, the tie down roping, that's freaking crazy. That 4,000 will make you the NFR if you just make the 8-man round. So let me give you the tie down ropers. And then now Kendra's brain's going to explode here. Corey Solomon, John Douch, Shane Henchy, Marcos Costa, Marty Yates, Kincaid Henry, Shad Mayfield, Dylan Hancock, Riley Pruitt, Buck Calhoun, Tom Krause, and Riley Webb.
Okay, holy moly. Did you say Hanchy's on that list?
Hanchy's on the list.
And he's 16th, and then Buck Calhoun is 17th.
Yes, and one round for Buck. It's pretty interesting. Shane Henchy's the clinician, right? He's probably not going to make a mistake, and he knows if he wins his 4,000. But there's Tom Krause, who made a big move last week. The one name you don't see on here that I think it'll be tough for is Quade Hyatt. Where's Quade in the standings? I know you got it in front of you, Kendra.
Quade's 14th. What about Kyle Lucas's 15th?
Not here.
Tough Cooper's 18th, by the way.
Not here.
So Solomon's 22nd. And so, in other words, Solomon, 4,000.
But if they don't think Kyle Lucas isn't going to Pasadena and Poway and San Bernardino,
for
there's
sure, money to be won. If he 40% every rodeo, he can't win.
They're so close together. What if he wins just enough to pass Tom, and Tom don't win nothing there, Krause? Or the one guy that'll shock you, that if you look there and you wouldn't think this would be possible at all, Ty Harris. Ty Harris could literally get knocked out of the NFR if these three guns have a big, big run. Now, Ty's obviously going to be going at them down south and out west too. But these guys could get him from the
pressure's
back.
Pressure's on.
And what is he, 12th?
He's 11th right now. But he's about 10 grand ahead of 15th.
Pays 11,900 to win a round here.
Oh, good grief. Well, that.
Yeah, the calf roping's off the charts. And calf roping's probably not as close together as the Bulldoggers are. It'll be interesting back behind there. I assure you of that.
Well, and we should mention this. That at Mandan, it was really hard to watch. Andrew Burks caught his left hand in a coil stepping and got ring finger, middle finger, index finger on his left hand. Some ends of, I don't know, it's the report said partial amputation and degloving, which all of it sounds absolutely miserable. And I have a heart for that kid, and the last time I saw him, I met him when, during COVID reasons in 2021, the playoffs was at Salinas in September, and that poor kid, I met him out there in the parking lot, and he was sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this poor kid looks miserable, and I walked over, and I introduced myself, and he was there. He was out of rodeos. But he was there playing defense. Okay. And fast forward, I mean, that he ended up, I think, 16th. And it was heartbreaking. Like, he got bumped out right there at the very end. Well, I don't know how many people realize that everybody talks about Shad Mayfield and what's his horse? I want to say Tootsie Pop. Tootsie Pop's the new one, right? What's his, what's Shad Mayfield's big one?
Hop.
That horse came from, okay, that's going to piss me off. Tommy Joe, would you please Google that? I can't believe I'm doing this. He has two horses in there.
You want me to Google horse names? You know that I don't care about horse names.
Okay, well, my point, there's a point coming here. I'll do it. I'm going to make you wait. Horse name.
But you know,
this is a big deal. Lollipop, for the love of God. Okay, Lollipop, Shad and Lollipop. That's the big talk. Okay, he now has a Tootsie Pop also, but Lollipop's headlines, horse of the year last year, da-da-da-da. Guess whose horse that was? Andrew Burks. Think about that kid. He got devastated. He got bumped up 1 second. And then I don't know the story. I mean, did he sell his horse for fun? I don't know. That horse is, obviously made a lot of headlines with Shad, and now he loses parts of three fingers. That was tough. Anyway.
Yeah, rodeo's got so many amazing stories. Didn't your kid, the last time he went to the NFR, didn't he have to go to Maine or some damn place?
Yes, he had to win $270. He drove from Salinas to Maine.
So yes. This is what I think, Tommy Joe, this is for somebody like you. But the Cowboy Channel, this really should be, and I brought this up, I brought his name up, because this was the first year of the Governor's Cup, actually. That was... This is the third year of that. This was the first year of them when he went out there and did that. But if the Cowboy Channel had somebody up there doing election night, because this is what this is.
Exactly.
There's guys trying to counter move right here. There's four or five. and they actually explaining to the fans what the hell's happening right now. Holy shit. I mean, the dynamics are off the charts, and there's people playing defense, and there's guys, rodeo ain't as tight as there's guys getting guys to enter and saying, I need you to get a hole.
Oh, absolutely.
I need you to get a hole at Poway. I need you to get fourth or fifth place. There's defense running all over the map. But I think it is monopoly election night. I mean, you could have a teleprompter and, man, I think it'd be the most exciting night of the year other than the national finals rodeo. I really do.
Yes. Well, I will tell you that when it comes to the calf roping, if you wanted just the robotic one who could spit out everything to the penny is Joe B.
Oh, Joe Beaver's phenomenal. You know, Cash Wilson has a stepdad. And I had him waiting on cue here one year. This bastard must not have no hobbies because he knows every event, and he's one of them guys that can figure out how much they need to win. And it's just that's interesting to me. I mean, I damn sure don't want to talk to him every day because it's too much for my simple head to go.
Rodeo Rain Man.
Hey, that's what I call him, is Rain Man. So that is funny. That is funny. But actually, yeah, what's the goofy guy? Mel Kiper. That's what rodeo needs. Rodeo needs a Mel Kiper.
Yep.
And another thing rodeo needs, we need somebody on there, and I might as well, because you guys spit it out. You spit truth, so I want to spit truth. We need somebody on there that is saying, for the average fan, we all know his stirrups are too short. This is why he's not winning. He is not, everything can be a great ride, or his horse is shorting him.
Or for God's sake, he sucked. Right?
That's
it wasn't
right.
Good. I mean, and that doesn't mean that the person, it's not personal, but
absolutely,
you have to throw the 65-yard pass to the out pattern, to the guy, and if you throw it wrong, and most people don't differentiate this sport, for, and they need someone to go, you know, that wasn't great. Better,
I'm not
better
trying to get
time.
Us all, yeah. I'm not trying to get us all jobs, but I'm telling you, you put us three and some guys that are just done rodeo and that just missed the national finals, and you spoke truths at a casino on what's going on live TV, you would have people lined up watching because it is very interesting. Because I don't know the bulldogging like Oat Berry does. They can pick up little shit what they're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. But we know the people that would spit it out there. And to me, that's what rodeo needs. It's what's made the NFL. And I always tell everybody, the people bitching about Mandan or this rodeo or some other rodeo, turns out I bitch about football. I'm 5'8". Now, I weigh enough to be a football player now, but I'm 5'8" and fairly slow now. But I think I know. And so for us in the rodeo world, we're going to have to get some criticism from people that don't really know to make it a broader appeal.
Well, and, you know, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to go with it. That's why I love Boy Pohamas.
Yeah.
You hear these people throw him under the bus for judging the event, but no, he's actually commentating the event like a sportscaster could, calling out the things, and the judges get offended. And it's just it's a straight up truth. Boyd will say something. Now, the problem that I have is that there's not that many judges out there. No offense to the judges that you know, have the self-confidence that they should have, right? That they're like, no, I, you know, if a crowd screaming or Boyd said something changes the score of a judge, shame on the system, because it shouldn't. They should know the game.
You are 100% correct. And if they don't think the announcers don't affect them, everybody's dead wrong, because they do. And that's their job. You get Anthony LaLucia, Garrett Yerrigan, Boyd Pohamas, what I call more modern age hype, it can be a game to them. It's
absolutely
Bob Tallman in their game. Now, if I couldn't get a judge to get killed, and I'll say this, and this will stir up some shit too, but when I started, there was judges that cheated. Flat out cheated, the sons of bitches. They've weeded through them. I don't think we cheat. I think we got a lot of dumb judges. We got bull riders flagging the friggin' team roping and team ropers judging the bronc riding. That's bullshit. We need to get more money in our program to pay and make more people want to do it.
More money.
And that makes rodeo better.
Correct.
But if it was me, I'd put them headphones on. Now, we're going to get somebody killed in the arena. But, for instance, the bull riding, you can stand outside the panels and watch it. There's so many factors. The National Finals Rodeo, them two judges that sat at the other end of the arena, and you always hear somebody say, Why is that judge so far off? Well, he's so far off because he's standing at the other end. The animals are coming straight at him, right? So we just need to look at different ways how to improve our game.
That's a whole nother podcast. That's all. We could sit on here and talk about that. You know, I think the intent's there, but the same problem that I have, that I've said it to my judges at my event, you need to get in the right position. Don't give me this excuse that I don't know how to split these two, da da da. And when the corn dog's coming up, I'm not gonna keep going.
I'm gonna bring you one thing to think about, because your head's, but knowing you two the way I know you two, you're gonna think about it for a while. And what a lot of people don't think about, I'm gonna bring up the bronc riding. Do you notice when, what's the young kid that I think just rides off the charts? Gus Galliard. Do you notice when Gus Galliard misses a jump and Zach Dallas misses a jump, the taller guy is Doc Moore. Now, they miss the same jump, but if you study rodeo and knew that, they're going, the little guy gets docked less just because it looks a little flashier to him. But that's something we got to address down the line too. And I want you guys to think about that a bit, but just think about it. Brad Germanson, which was incredible. You know what I mean? They can tend to miss a jump.
How many times did Damien Brennan miss the jump at Mandan? You look at Razor, Jim Sharp, the way he made bulls look compared to Charlie Sampson. You can go back in that stuff. You know, there's an art to getting points, and you need to study it.
Yeah, but I still think that it's almost impossible to, like your examples, Rory, that you gave, like somebody who rode bulls their whole life, are they really supposed to be able to judge? They don't see other events necessarily in slow motion. Like, you know, for years, the team rippers, you know, voted that, for example, Reg Camarillo flagged the team ripping at the NFR. He was a peer. And so, you know, obviously but he sees things in slow motion in that particular event. So obviously in the best world, we would have an expert in every event.
Right.
Correct.
Which is timeout. Time out. The only thing is, literally, us three could have 20 podcasts. I think that in the essence of getting this list out and finishing talking about this, we'll ask Mr. Lemel after he's done producing this event, come on, and we'll fix the whole system. But let's go on to the next discipline.
We're going to have somebody smarter than me. All right. Tie down roping. Oh, we did that. What the hell? Getting off. What is this? Barrel racing. Megan McLeod Sprague. Julie Plord, is that how you say her name? She's new to me. Come out of the IPR, I think. Wenda Johnson, Taylor Moikens out of Montana, Andrea Busby, Tricia Aldridge, Carly Otero, Haley Kinzel, Michelle Alley has a shot. That could be a big pattern horse. That's a great horse. Lisa Lockhart, thank God I got one South Dakota contestant. My bronc riders suck, apparently. Emily Beisel and Helen Lyde. A promoter. I need more South Dakota people to sell tickets.
It's a different kind of an arena, too. I mean,
different. It's way smaller.
It's a different. You better know how to ride. It's not just about buying the juice. You better know how to navigate the pattern. I'm just saying.
And I'll say this: we come out of a dark alley. This is dark in here, and you've been here, Tommy Joe. I have a few lights stuck in here. Like this looks like a disco.
Yeah. It's a different game. It'll shake it up for them, that first timers.
Oh yeah, and Michelle Alley has a shot at get the final. I think the Lyde went to the national finals for the first time last year. She has put herself in contention, so I think
she's
that's exciting.
17th. Halen Lyde is 17th, and that is a great small pattern horse, I believe. Michelle Alley, same way. She's 24th. Now, if something like that happens, how wild, you know? That's just wild.
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, some people rodeo in the winter so they can get to in the other summer rodeos. You know, it's just way more than people think. Bull riding, couple little change-ups here. And I do got, I think, the breakaway left too. And a steer roping. We got steer roping this year. But
congratulations on that.
Thank you. The bull riding, TJ Gray actually made it, but he didn't ride at Puyallup. Therefore, he cannot ride here.
Oh.
And Stetson's out. So it dropped down two. So drama begins here. That lets in Clayton Sellers. Clayton Sellers needs to win a lot of money. Tristan Hutchins, Trevor Reiste, which he's in. This next guy is who I think the spoiler is. This is a bull-riding son of a gun. Went to the PBR, Colton Fritzlin. Colton Fritzlin could cause some serious damage here. Bryce Jensen, Raleigh Johnson, Quinn Anderson, Jordan Spears, Jesse Petrie's down there, Wacy Schala, Kai Hamilton, and then we got one permit holder that's riding lights out that can't go to the NFR, but Hayden Welch, the second, third generation.
How about 100 right now that Welch takes it? I'll give you the field, and I'll take that kid. I'll take the redhead.
No, I do not make your kind of money. You got like four or five jobs.
As long as you take a check, we're good.
The thing about it is, you just rattled off several of these guys that are like, Sellers is 20th, Fritzlin is 21st. Do you say Reisty? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
22nd. I mean, that's three guys from 20th, right in there.
The one event which I rode is the bull riding. There's never been politics. If you could just freaking hang on in the bull riding, and that's been the age old time, and that's why Tough and Ty and Razor and them guys, Troy Dunn, Adriano, they hung on.
Well, you saved yourself a good 7 minutes by Kimsey not being there. So that's good.
True that. But I got 14 minutes. Crest didn't make the bronc ride. And that's just a jab to Brody. Great bronc rider. Takes a good God amount of time. I used to have hair there.
Yeah.
Breakaway. Breakaway is pretty interesting. Where am I at? Matty Dearman, Bailey Bates, Macy Young, Aspen Miller, Bo Peterson, Cheyenne McCartney, Taylor Munsell, Josie Connor, Haley Williams, Zoe Bedke, I think is how you say that, Riley George, and the one they better watch, a young lady named Martha Angeloni. That is
19th right now.
Yeah.
World champion.
Exciting.
Man. I mean, and think about like last year's world champ, Kelsey Dillmer, is 17th right now, but does not have. Now, did you say Bailey Bates? Yes, she's 18th.
Bailey Bates is in.
She's 18th, and Martha's 19th. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And technically, the Bedke, what is she, 30-some, 34? 30-something?
36.
And it's possible she'd have to win everything, but she wins everything. She'd make enough to go into 15th.
Wild.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Do you want the trippers real fast? Trippers real fast. I think they deserve their moment in the sun. First time ever. Thomas Smith, Blake Deckard, Kelton McMillan, Roger Nonella, Jake Clay Cooper, J. Tom Fisher, Tyler Waters, Chet Heron, Troy Tillard, Cole Patterson, Cody Lee, and Scott Snedeker.
I think it's so great that you're doing it up there for them.
Well, so across the way, we give buckles, and I got concerts, Jason Bolin and Wynn Williams and Grant Gilbert. And then while that's going on, I got a shooting range contest where you can win money. I've got all these committees and cowboys getting in a contest, and you can win $1,000 each event. There's four different events. While the tripping's going on, they're going to be shooting over there. So we're trying to do a lot, just get a lot of people involved in different ways.
Well, and I got to say, hats off. I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to bring it to everybody's attention. And you mentioned it to me. They invite and provide space and a platform for open dialogue between committees on how to improve their events, how to learn stuff on marketing. It usually touches on marketing and production. And again, there's a handful of destination location rodeos. The old school ones are the Calgary Stampede, Houston. But hold on. There's a few of us new guys that are destination location. If you sit there and you're a Cowboy Channel fan and you don't plan a ticket to this event, no shit, bad mistake. This is a destination location rodeo that people need to be a part of. It's just too much.
You know, we try really hard. Our Buffalo Roundup's going on Friday, which is a huge, massive deal from over on my side of the state. People from all over the world come in and they round up all these buffalo and they come running over the hills. The governor goes to that. He's getting on a plane and coming in here so he don't miss a day. It's that big a deal. It's our state sport. Same governor that introduced it. We was the first state where rodeo was a state sport. And he's the guy that he was just in the legislature then that introduced the bill. Now he's our governor.
2003, right? Is when they declared it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a big deal. We don't have professional football and we don't have professional basketball, but Cowboys are still rock stars in South Dakota.
That's awesome. I have just a housekeeping question. I don't know exactly how you two feel about the abiding by the rule book or whatever. Are there any special ground rules at Sioux Falls?
You know, I don't think so. Tommy Joe, I don't think there's any special ground rules.
I don't recall anything in there.
It's straight up finals rodeo. Don't pay fees.
Don't pay fees. It's a progressive and everybody complains about that, but that's the way it should be.
That's the way it is now. I do want to point out back to the other deal, Bo Gardner speaking. I've had Tommy Joe speak last year. I had Patrick Gotch when he was with us. He spoke. Bo Gardner. And what Tommy Joe said is what I think everybody needs to come out for. And you can ask anything. You can call the PRCA out on something and say, because they'll be there. Tom Glaus, Steve Knowles, Paul Woody will all be in the front row. And you can ask anything. How come you're not doing this, this, or this? But we got like Bo and what people forget about what you guys know so well, what makes the national finals, yes, it's big. It's our Super Bowl. But it's all the great things that Las Vegas is doing. I mean, Bo Gardner's in charge of Cowboy Christmas. Can you imagine having to deal with all that shit that comes through there and the vendors? Like last year, they tore up the road to the convention center opening day. Nobody said that. He's going to be there talking about the junior NFR and how to bring events. Matt Wilson is the director of sports for the Arlington Convention and Visitors Bureau. I think I can learn a lot from Matt. His job is how to bring business to your town, events, and like he's the one that locked in the National Finals Rodeo during COVID. So I want to learn what brings business and sponsors that make the rodeo. And then the hardest thing in the world, both you know this, is starting a rodeo from ground zero. This sumbitch is hard in a rodeo state to make me sell tickets. It's tough because we got so many great rodeos. Kathy DeLora started the rodeo there in the desert in Thermal, California, and she kicked their ass. She did. I mean, she's on entertainment tonight, but I want to know how she done it. I have a little event called the bike rally right out my back door. I could have a rodeo there. I could get six people. She did excellent. Reno set that up for it. She's coming out. So them are our speakers. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's awesome. I do. You just mentioned sponsorships, and I would love to know you guys' feeling about this because it's always been a hot topic forever. When you're building a rodeo, whether it's an existing rodeo or starting a new one or whatever, how do you feel about sponsor exclusivities?
Well,
can you kick ass for the big rodeo and have that? Or
if they pay enough. So I had a little deal here that the PRCA wanted me to bring a sponsor in that they needed to take care of. But I'm not getting no money. Not coming in my arena. Just that's against my principles because these other guys paid a lot of money, in my opinion. And yes, the answer is Tommy Joe and Rory, I bet, charge way more for their sponsorships than most rodeos. But I think we go to a different level. Damn sure don't sleep for several months at a time. And that's why our sponsorship is worth it. And I try to put, you know, if you look at our timelines compared to the average rodeo that doesn't have a timeline, there's a reason we're putting them in there. And once in a while, it pisses me off. And we can have a whole other podcast about this. But a $500 sponsor gets the same as a $50,000 sponsor. That's crazy. That's not how the world works.
Well, and you guys, you do integrated live show deliverables, right? Which is something that, you know, it's more than a banner and a shoot. If you want to know why you're not selling sponsorships, it's more than a banner and a shoot. It's, you know, it goes to the Coke can on the count, on the deal while the people are performing America's Got Talent. It's about integrating. It's about your talent, your announcers, weaving those brands in at the right time. And before you know it, that's what aligns a brand with our sport, not a banner, not a shoot. I think Rory does a great job. We work very hard to do that. And that allows us to command more sponsorship. And by the way, their brands being on FS1, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. So congratulations. That's just, that's cool.
Thank you. You know, you can just put it this way. Everything we do is pretty calculated. If you hear me and Tommy Joe killing somebody, it was premeditated. I can guarantee you that, because that's the way our rodeos are. It's premeditated. And you can copy us. You're not going to do the same thing, because we live this every freaking day, and I'm going to keep coming up with something new. And I'm trying something new here. Opening night, this shit better work, or I'm going to throw my sucker down. But I want to do different stuff, and we're flying all over the country to watch this and just want new things.
I'm with you. Well, I tell you what, fantastic time. And hats off to Cinch. You know, rodeo tested, ranch ready. That's the new deal. I think that's cool. You know, just like you said, the Cinch brand started in rodeo. They came in. They you know, you're battling Wrangler, which just owns the world. And you tooth and nail and work on designs. And next thing you know, that other area, you know, people start falling off. Cinch stays there. They put their brands on people. They put money in cowboys' pockets. They put on events like this. And it would be a miss for us to not say thank you to Cinch for doing what you do in the sport. No BS.
Thank you, Tom and Joe. And it's by the way, it's not just Cinch. Thank you to Wrangler for all them years supporting the National Finals rolling. Absolutely. I mean, they put cowboys in money's pocket and make it what it is.
Absolutely.
I just think there's a line. You can't blur some lines once in a while. I don't think we could put in, to answer your question, Kendra, I don't think I could put in 6 clothing brands. It'd be tough. I mean, you'd be blurring lines. There's only so much we can sell before we start sounding like a commercial, right? But rodeo producers have to do a better job of getting them a better product so we can bring outside brands in to sponsor more rodeo.
You know what I think's the coolest part of this? I've had an extraordinary day. And I just, right before I stepped on here, I hung up from talking to Trevor Brazil for 2 or 3 hours. And what I walk away from these conversation, all over all these years, the greatest cowboys ever, what they have in common for me talking to them all so much is that they never think they've arrived. They never think they're good enough. They never stop trying to be better. And I hear the competitiveness in you guys as rodeo producers to never, like, the status quo, nah. Like, never satisfied, always driving for more. And Trevor told me about that about himself today. I was like, what do you want to be remembered about? How do you want to be remembered in 100 years from now? And he's like, as a guy who never quit trying to get better. And that's you guys too. It's so cool. I mean, in anything. And he's like, I don't care if you push brooms for a living or whatever. If you are the best at what you do, you will make a good living and you deserve to. Well, that goes for cowboys, cowgirls, rodeo producers, you know, whatever. But being the best is hard work and it's exhausting. Oh. And so I just applaud, you know, you're into this business too. I mean, there's no rodeo without you. Thank you.
Pisses me off when he beats me. But, and there's not very many.
I don't beat. It's just that us two, I say we're practicing trying to get better when nobody's looking.
Well, I'll steal what I need to from you and you'll do the same. But at the end of the day,
damn right.
At the end of the day, you know, I've told it on other podcasts. Sometimes you try stuff and it don't work. What you think's going to come off, and then it's over and you're like, and I've done it. I've talked about it, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit taking risks. Neither is Rory. We're going to keep putting money in this so that non-endemic sponsors see the value of the West, because it's real. It's the authentic. The first superheroes wore cowboy hats, and we're going to live that till we die.
That's well put. Well put. You know, the greatest compliment we get is when somebody copies us. And if once you're a rodeo fan, you brought up Trevor. I did the X-Bronx Finals in Rapid City, and I didn't know Trevor was there. And he walked around the corner, and he said, Rory, that was a badass show. And he was pumped. Trevor wasn't a Bronc Rider. He happened to be the greatest cowboy of our time. That's a great compliment when it's a rodeo fan. It's a great compliment.
And nobody loves horses more. All kind of horses. So
all kinds of horses. Horses is a big, beautiful beast.
And Trevor recognizes, a lot of those guys recognize the value of the product. And not everybody does. God bless all the Cowboys. Not everybody understands the value of the product. But here, it's really simple. Fans buy products which pay us to allow the prize money to continue to grow. It all goes back to what the consumer takes in. I don't care if you're selling chicken fried steak. I've said it all the time. You can open a cafe, serve the best chicken fried steak, you'll win. That's just the way.
That's right.
That's the way it is. And that's the way the, you know, the, it's a race. And I think it's great. You know, Ariat's out-branding Cowboys now. The new brand, Kimes, is out-branding Cowboys. We're watching it in the hats, for God's sakes. You know, it was Resist All Forever. Still Resist All for me, but Americans out there and a new group, Pro Hats and Saratelli, and it, that's what makes America great. There's competition, and we don't bow down from it. We try to be the best.
Well, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for taking time in the middle of, I probably wouldn't have done it, but you did. Better.
Well, it was that or back panel, so this was a no-brainer for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Thank you on behalf of Kendra and I. Thank you all you No Spinners that are listening. This has been episode 77 of No Spin, and I will have to say, probably my favorite, right? Like, we've done some cool-ass stuff, but if you're not paying attention, you watch it on TV, get a ticket. It's hard to get there, by the way, but get there. It's worth it. I'm going to be there. Great show. Thank you, Roy, for spending time with us. Thank you, No Spinners, for being a part of our show. Until we meet again next week, this has been number 77 of No Spin Rodeo. Better pay attention. It's the Governor's Cup.